Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Louisiana High School football playoffs are here. For 208 teams, the road to the Superdome continues, with eight ending that journey with state championships in 4 weeks' time. For one team, that journey could hit an early roadblock if a judge sides against them. We'll have the latest on the litigation between U High and the LHSAA, and we'll preview this week's matchups on the Bi-District Round Edition of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. The Louisiana High School football playoffs are here. Not without controversy, but the controversy that threatened to delay the release of the playoff brackets ultimately did not. Brackets came out on Sunday. We know the teams in the postseason, and we'll preview the big matches in the Bi-District Round this week on the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. I'm Ian Ozan. Happy that you are here with us on WWL.com. We start in the Baton Rouge area with Robin Fambro and The Advocate. And Robin, the LHSAA on Friday said the brackets might be delayed because of this temporary restraining order that U High obtained from a judge. But in the end, it was only a few hours later than usual that the brackets came out. U High is in the field. They're number two in Division II select. So the million-dollar question is, what's next?
Waiting for a court date. Per the restraining order, the LHSAA had to withdraw the penalties against U High until it's resolved. And now I think both sides are going to be waiting for the next court date. And I'm assuming there may be some movement where they're filing motions or whatever today. And it could be this week. It could be next week. Now, one thing to note is U High, as a number two seed, has a bye this week. They do not play.
And they'll be waiting for the next round of the playoffs, a regional round.
Correct.
And U High
Correct.
Will wind up facing the winner of Booker T, Washington, New Orleans, and Buckeye, depending on mm-hmm. what the judge rules. So we'll have to wait and see. Now, all of that aside, still a great field in this year's bracket, especially for the Baton Rouge area. The Capital Region well represented in the playoffs. And in the first round, a bunch of matchups that you would expect to see a little bit later in the playoffs, or at least years before you'd think you'd see later in the playoffs. Zachary Sam Houston is one of them that stands out. And I'm a bit surprised that Zachary's only a 14 seed this year.
Well, the thing that that bumped Zachary down, even though I don't think either loss is necessarily what you'd call a bad loss, is they lost back-to-back games to Central and Catholic, two teams that earned top four seeds in the postseason. And that kind of dropped them down. They have three losses. Sam Houston, that's an intriguing matchup, and just as intriguing is the fact that if Zachary would win, they would go to play Ruston, the team they played last year in the state championship game.
So last year's state title
in Division I non-select.
So a rematch of last year's state title game, a possibility in the regional round of this year.
It's possible.
Right. And that would be next week in the regional round if that happens. Catholic of Baton Rouge, they get a bye in Division I select. They'll await the winner of Bonneville East Jeff. Catholic of Baton Rouge is strong as usual. Hudson Fuller has his team going at all cylinders right now. For Catholic of Baton Rouge, is this their championship to win? Do you see any roadblocks in front of them?
There's a really big one at the top of the bracket, Ed Nacar.
For Catholic to beat Etna Carr, should they meet each other in the semifinal, what would it take for
right.
Catholic to get the victory?
And that is a very huge matchup with two very high-powered teams. A lot of people feel like Carr is playing their best football right now. Probably the same with Catholic. We'll just have to see how it shakes out.
Of the other matches across the ballot featuring Capital Region teams, what do you think of the more intriguing matchups this weekend?
Well, you have a matchup a couple of weeks removed right below Zachary and Sam Houston, where Dutchtown will host Walker. Walker was the team that gave them their only district loss and only loss of the season in Week 8. And, of course, Dutchtown was a quarterfinalist last year. I'm talking about on the non-select side. The team to watch there, I think, is Plaquemine. And I think they're underrated. They're number 6 seed. They're going to host Grants this week. One matchup that's kind of notable for a couple of reasons in Division III non-select is Donaldsonville traveling to Baker. That's a 17-16 matchup. And Donaldsonville has, you know, been in the playoffs quite a bit lately. Baker's been absent a couple of years. Both teams have been rebuilding, retooling to a bit. They're from different classes. Donaldsonville's 3A, Baker's 2A. But the winner will play top-seeded St. James. And, of course, Donaldsonville and St. James are district rivals, and they've already played once this year. Going down to Division 4 in the non-select, you've got North Iberville hosting its first playoff game in over 15 years. This is a school that brought its football program back. This is the first varsity season, and they're going to host Oberlin, a number 28 seed. On the select side, you've kind of already covered Catholic. Division 2 select, probably one I'd look at would be Booker T. Washington at Estruma. Estruma is in the playoffs for the second straight year. They made it to the second round, the regional round, last year. All the intriguing possibilities are in place. Of course, you have Coach Sid Edwards, who also made the mayor-president runoff. He's the head coach at Estruma. I don't know if we've ever had anybody do the dual political coach thing quite like this, but it's unique. In Division III, you've got another 17-16 matchup to look at, and that's Lafayette Renaissance Charter at Parkview Baptist. Parkview's the 16 seed, and the winner would play Dunham, the top seed. And, of course, Parkview and Dunham are very familiar with each other. Dunham beat Parkview. They shut them out week one, but a year ago it was actually Parkview that knocked Dunham out of the playoffs. And then when you go down to Division IV select, you've got defending champion Southern Lab hosting Sacred Heart. Southern Labs is a team that I thought probably would be rated a little higher in those power rankings, but that's where they fell. It puts them on the same side with Vermilion Catholic for a possible, and Vermilion Catholic obviously is the top seed for a possible semifinal showdown there. Ascension Catholic at the bottom is a second seed. They would play the Opelousas Catholic Westminster Christian Lafayette winner. Opelousas Catholic has their quarterback back. I actually saw a little bit of that game on a live stream. It'd be an interesting matchup, but we will see how it goes. I think those teams, Ascension Catholic and Opelousas Catholic, have played several times in recent years. So we'll just have to. There's a lot of possibilities, and we'll just have to see how it plays out.
You certainly are. You brought up Southern Lab ranked at number 13 in the brackets. That was a surprise for me as well. I thought they'd have been higher than that. With that in mind, who of the lower seeds in the Baton Rouge area, who do you think has the best shot of making a run?
When you talk lower, I don't know how much you mean lower. I think, obviously, you have to put Zachary in that group based on their past history. I think anybody below a 10, I would consider lower. Santama is a 15 seed. They're playing extremely well right now. They've won 5 in a row. That's in Division I non-select, also with Zachary. And, another team to keep an eye on in that Division III select is Episcopal. And Episcopal's got a first-round bye. They would play the Pope John Paul Menard winner in the second round. So it'll be kind of interesting just to see how all of this comes about and who winds up matching up with who. A lot of it may depend on the matchups. So, the type of teams that match up physically, size-wise, because I learned that many years ago, not all matchups are equal. Some teams just don't match up physically with others when it looks like it might be a good matchup. And then there are others that you think wouldn't be, and for some reason they wind up being very good matchups.
And that's the beauty of the way the playoffs are now, especially with the split, the way it's formatted now. We've seen a ton of great matchups in the first couple of rounds over the last few years, and I would imagine this year will be much of the same. I want to go back to Sid Edwards for a moment, because I can't think of a time where you had a football coach run for public office while still actively coaching, and Edwards now finds himself in the playoffs of both the high school football world as well as the political world, considering he'll be in the runoff to become the mayor. That runoff, should a Strumemaker run, is going to happen, if I'm not mistaken, the week of the semifinals. How in the world is Sid Edwards maintaining his focus in both areas and able to do so well in both areas simultaneously?
Well, I think I've told you this before. Sid is a CEO-type coach. He delegates a lot of things. He puts a lot of faith in his assistants. And, you know, they do a lot of the logistics. It's something he's done for years. It's just a different, I guess you'd call it a different configuration this year than it's ever been for him or anybody for that matter.
It'll be interesting to see what happens if he can lead Struma to the promised land as well as possibly win his election as he's running for mayor president of Baton Rouge, one of the two contestants in that race to reach the runoff in last week's election. Robin Fambro from The Advocate joining us, giving us the lay of the land in the Baton Rouge area as we get ready for week one of the high school football playoffs. Robin, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Now we roll on to the New Orleans area. Coach Lou Valden from the WWL All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup joins us. Coach Lou, when you look at the brackets, the first thing that stands out is in a Division I select, the bulk of the Catholic League got in this year. We knew Edna Carr would be number one in Division I non-select. There was no question about that. But then you look at the rest of the Catholic League, and you see some of the teams that struggled, especially in district play, make it into the playoffs, especially on the select side. That goes to show just how strong, A, the district is, but also, B, how strong the schedules these teams played were.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Catholic League, like the SEC. You know, you got Alabama whipping LSU. You had Ole Miss beat Georgia. But, yeah, you have St. Aug's in. They play in Karen Crow, and then we're going to have a rematch. Curtis and Brother Martin, and then Jesuit and Lafayette. So Rummel's going to get a bye. I think Holy Cross is going to get a bye. And obviously Carr.
Yeah, and I should need to correct myself. Carr is in Division I select. They have the first round bye. They'll get the winner of Huntington and Hammond. Karen Crow gets St. Aug this week. St. Aug started off hot this year. They struggled in district, but this is a winnable game against a Karen Crow team that's underperformed this season.
Yeah, especially since, you know, St. Aug's at home. I don't know what night they're going to play, if they're going to play Saturday or not. You know, later in the year, they still dropped a couple games, but they were very, very close games. So, you know, and then Karen Crow's got to be almost like a breath of fresh air after going through that gauntlet of the Catholic League.
Absolutely. St. Aug may have a chance to breathe this week. And then, of course, there's an all-Catholic League matchup, 19-14 game, John Curtis and Brother Martin. These two teams know each other well. They played each other during the season. If I remember correctly, was a relatively close game this season when these two teams met. What do you expect in the rematch?
Well, I mean, you know, it's very rare that Curtis lost as many games as they did. But I don't know, except for the Carr game, I don't know if it was the other teams beating Curtis or Curtis beating themselves. You know, the games that Curtis lost, they lost because they turned the football over. So I think if Curtis can hold the football and not turn it over, I think they'll be a tough out in the playoffs.
Curtis won the first matchup back on October 18th, 17-14 final score, beating Brother Martin in their first matchup this season. They'll play again this weekend in the opening round of the playoffs. In Division II, Archbishop Shaw, number one, no surprise there. Really and truly, this is Archbishop Shaw's division to win. You look at the rest of the bracket, this should be an easy run to the dome for Shaw.
He's worried about, now he's not going to overlook whoever he plays next week. But I know they're looking down the line at Kennedy would be a quarterfinal. That looks like the toughest team in their division. But except for U High and Vanderbilt, the better teams are on Shaw's side of the bracket.
St. Charles among them. They're the 12 seed, even though they had a rough go in their first year in 4A. For this St. Charles squad to be as high of a seed as they are despite their struggles, that shows that, as we mentioned, strength of schedule was good, but they are better than the record indicates.
Absolutely. Look, the Shaw score did not indicate how close that football game was. I mean, St. Charles Catholic played very, very hard. They ran the ball on Shaw. Shaw had a difficult time stopping a run. So, yeah, that score was not indicative of, how close that game was Thursday night.
I want to jump back to Division I non-select. Covington is hosting Barb in a 16-17 matchup this week. Number 8, Hanville gets number 25, H.L. Bourgeois. Mandeville, they're a 5 seed. They get Thibodeau, a 28 seed. You've got a ton of teams from the New Orleans area and the North Shore who are playing in the D1 non-select bracket. Destrehan, number 10, hosting West Ouachita, lest we forget about them. This Division I non-select bracket is stacked, and these games, even in the first round, they're so evenly matched, you're not even sure that this area is guaranteed to have a team to get out of the first round.
No, I mean, but it looks like the best game out of all of them is going to be Destrehan or Ouachita. That ought to be a pretty good game. Ouachita on the road. But, man, they play in that brutal district, in North Louisiana with Ruston and those guys in West Monroe and that bunch. It ought to be a really good game Friday night at Destrehan.
Lakeshore gets rain this week, and that's Division II non-select. Elsewhere in Division II non-select, Belle Chasse hosting North Vermilion, Pearl River getting Cecilia. Then you go down to Division III and Division IV. We haven't talked a lot about the smaller schools this year, but the New Orleans area has had a bunch of them make waves. Isidore Newman, they're the 2 seed in Division III select. Jules Sumner won their district this past weekend by getting a victory Thursday night. They're number 4 in the division. Then you go down to Division IV. We know about what Riverside can do. We know what St. Martin's Episcopal can do. So for some of these smaller schools that are in the playoffs from the New Orleans area, which one do you think has the best chance of making a run and winning a state title?
I think De La Salle. You know, they open up with Fisher. This is the first time Fisher's been in the playoffs in a while in Division III. I think De La Salle, they had a brutal schedule. They played a lot of higher classification teams, like Shaw and teams like that. So they are, I think they got a really good chance. And then Pope John Paul started off strong, but they kind of faltered at the end. But I think they have a chance maybe to be around Thanksgiving week.
Of all the games involving the New Orleans area teams, which one do you think has the biggest chance of having an upset happen?
Ouachita Destrehan.
So you think there's a chance that Ouachita Parish could come in and pull off an upset over Destrehan?
Yes, I think that could possibly happen. Or maybe Brother Martin beat Curtis.
Lastly, and you're a coach yourself, so you have some insight on this. What are you hearing about the LHSAA situation with U-High from the coaches that you know? What has been the emotion or the sense of the situation that you've picked up from some of the other coaches you've spoken to?
Well, obviously, since I'm at Shaw and I'm in contact with those guys, they were really worried about it. They didn't know if they were going to cut teams out of the bracket and just play, one less round or if they were going to reclass, bracket every other district except them, and then they would have to play later. It's just pretty much the uncertainty. I'm curious to see what happens with the team that got bumped for U-High getting in.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later on when we get to the Alexandria area. Peabody was that team that got bumped as a result. They were on the outside looking in. They were the 25th squad. If ULAB would have been knocked out of the select bracket, Peabody would have gotten in. Coach Lou Valden from the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup joining us. Coach Lou, you'll be with us this week at Destrehan as they host Ouachita Parish, correct?
Absolutely.
We shall see you there on Friday night. Until then, take care, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, Ian, thank you.
And we're back with more of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. After this, we'll go to the Acadiana area on the flip side of the break, so stay with us.
Yeah.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bi-District Playoff Edition of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. I'm Ian Ozan. We resume by going to the Acadiana area. Kevin Foote from the Acadiana Advocate joins us. And Kevin, Division I Select, the usual suspects are there. Carrancrow's in the playoffs. St. Thomas More and Turlings each have byes. Acadiana has a bye. Lafayette's in the playoffs this year. In Division I Non-Select, you have Southside. You have Westgate, who's only a couple years removed from a state championship. So in terms of the big schools, everybody you would expect to be there is there. What surprises do you see in the bracket, especially as we go lower? Who are some of the teams that you thought might not be there? And of those, do you think any of them have a chance of getting out of the first round?
Yeah, there's been, you know, I don't know about big surprises. None of, we all knew Coach Lotief was a great coach. I don't think anybody really knew exactly that Kaplan would have the kind of season that they had. And so kind of looking for them to have a nice little run in the playoffs. You know, Crawley, it was a surprise early. They kind of faded down the stretch. I don't know that they can go on the road and win. Lorville is a surprise because they're used to winning. They got off to a really slow start, and I think they're a team that kind of surged as the season went on. So it wouldn't surprise me if they won a playoff game or two for a team that was – you know, mid-season, probably a lot of people weren't expecting a lot of. You know, the team that I'm anxious to see is kind of Westminster of Opelousas. They've kind of fallen under the radar. You know, OC got off to a hot start. They got injured. And we've had, you know, St. Edmunds has had a really nice season. And no one's really talked much about Westminster, but they're hosting a playoff game. And so be interesting to see if they can win.
Westminster, of course, in Division IV Select, that bracket runs through Abbeville and Vermilion Catholic. That's a team that's been absolutely unstoppable all year. The Eagles looking to get back to the Superdome, trying to win their first state championship in a few years. For Vermilion Catholic, is there anything that can stop them?
Well, I mean, it's going to take a really good effort. And, you know, they obviously, it's all about their quarterback, Jonathan D'Artes, who's just, you know, I had as good a high school career of any athlete I've ever covered. But you know, they've got – their defense plays well, too. So they're going to be really tough to beat, no question. You know, Ascension Episcopal is another one that when the season started, they lost some pretty good players. They lost their quarterback from a year ago. And so, you know, you didn't really know what to expect from them. They played pretty well. Now, they didn't beat BC, but no one's beating BC. So I think Ascension Episcopal wouldn't surprise me at all if they had a nice little playoff run as well.
Church Point is a 10 seed. They're one of the many Acadiana teams in Division III non-select. Kaplan, you mentioned them a little while ago. They're in there. For Church Point, though, it's a return to form. After J.C. Arsenault left a few years ago, they had a down year, and this year they're back in the top 10 of Division III non-select. For the Bears, do you see any path to them getting to the Super Bowl, or Superdome, rather?
Well, I don't see them getting that far. They're running. They hadn't been quite as consistent as they've been in the past. The thing I like about them to win some playoff games is, you know, they come from a district that where they're pretty tested. Iota's pretty good, and Northwest is having a really nice season. So coming off a really good year last year, so I think they've been pretty tested. And so it would not surprise me if they can, you know, win a playoff game or two. I don't know about all the way to the dome, though.
You mentioned Iota. They're a 3A team that's bumped up into Division II non-select. They get Assumption this week. That bracket also includes the defending state champion, Opelousas, and the defending runner-up, Cecilia. Northwest, who last year was a semifinalist, is there as well. This is another stacked bracket for Opelousas, Cecilia, and Northwest, and even Iota. Do you see any path for them to get to the quarters or even the semis?
Yeah, I mean, the problem is they're all – I don't think anybody would be surprised if Cecilia and Opelousas go really far again. The problem is they're all double-digit seeds because they haven't either their schedules – their PowerPoints and their schedules not been good enough, or they lost more games than they thought they were going to lose. You know, Opelousas' schedule really tough, lost games. Doesn't mean they can't win now that they're in the bracket. You know, Iota's in a bad situation because, you know, they're, like you said, they're playing in a bracket with a lot bigger schools in a lot of their situations. So that's going to be tough for them. A real physical, you know, teams like Opelousas are just so physical, but you know, Cecilia is the interesting one to be. I mean, obviously they played some teams that weren't as good. They lost one or two more games. They've had some injuries here and there. But they're a team that played for the state championship last year. They've had a pretty nice season, and yet they're traveling in the first round. I wouldn't want to beat Pearl River, but, you know, Pearl River scored a lot of points with Franklin's in the one seed, and so they've got to be pretty dangerous. So that'll be an interesting matchup.
Opelousas, should they beat Bastrop this week, would get the number 3 seed Jennings, who has a first round bye in D2 non-select. Lastly, before we get out of here, Kevin, what are you hearing from the coaches in the Acadiana area about what's going on with the U-High situation?
Well, you know, I think the most coaches that I talked to were, you don't want to set a bad precedent by doing something for the good of the whole by letting someone go, but also, I mean, no one really thinks it's fair to have one school kind of, you know, hold the whole thing by the whole state hostage. So it was good that the brackets came out Sunday, and you know, I don't think people were happy, you know, with the issue, but I think some people were already preparing for not knowing, you know, until maybe today or tomorrow who they were playing, and so I think it worked out better than most people thought.
Kevin Foote with the Acadiana Advocate giving us a preview of what's to come in the bi-district round of the playoffs from the Acadiana area teams. Kevin, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks again.
All right. Take care, sir.
And we move from Lafayette to Central Louisiana, the Alexandria area. Lamar Gafford from SinLawPreps.com joins us. And Lamar, before we get into the matchups involving the Alexandria area teams, let's take a look at Peabody. They're on the outside looking into the playoffs thanks to this injunction that, or this temporary restraining order, I should say, that U-High obtained. If U-High had been eliminated, if the forfeits would have been upheld, Peabody would have been in the playoffs instead of U-High. But now that Peabody is out, what are you hearing from them about this entire situation?
Well, I know from Coach Harry Coleman, I mean, I know he's going to try to at least try to fight this thing. I know that he may try to look for some legal action just to see what they could possibly do in this case there. But overall, I know it's just a bad situation all the way through. I mean, yeah, they might have been 2-8, but this was a team that they felt like they did just enough just to get into the playoffs. And, yeah, you hate to have to see that happen in any type of way there. I mean, I know the LSHA was trying to do the best that they could possibly do in order to rectify the situation right there, just in case of U-High wasn't found of any wrongdoing or if it got turned over or anything else like that. But you just had to hate that it had to impact a school that has done it pretty much the right way in this case here. And, of course, now, like you said, I mean, they're on the outside looking in. You know, maybe they might have thought after Friday, hey, we still had a chance to possibly play an extra game, but now it's like not looking so great. So that's what I've been hearing so far, though.
The other major team in the Alexandria area, the Ash Trojans, they are the number 2 seed in Division I select. The good news is they won't have to face Edna Carr until the Superdome if both teams make it that far. Is there anyone on the bottom half of the bracket on the D1 select side that has you worried that might upset Alexandria?
If I look at it right now, I mean, I'm thinking maybe the Acadiana game could be very, very good when it comes down to the semifinals. I just feel like right now, Ashes continue to pass every single test that they've had. Especially, you know, last week their test against Neville, where, I mean, most of us probably thought it was going to be a close game, but the way that they took it to them early, you know, scored on their first two possessions, and then, you know, holding Neville down on their first two possessions. I mean, I think that kind of told everybody there. But they got some interesting games coming up. The Shreve Vangel game could be interesting, you know, having to face against Pop Houston possibly in the second round there. And, of course, you know, you may have to face against a defense like Bird probably in the quarterfinals there. But I think everything will be smooth sailing going all the way up into at least the semifinals. I think, again, this is a team that could possibly make it down to the dome here. But Acadiana does provide a very, very good challenge here that I feel like that they're going to be up for.
We spoke with Coach Thomas Bachman on the WWL All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup this past Friday night. We asked him what kind of similarities this team has to the 2020 team that went to the state championship game and fell to Acadiana. And he said he couldn't think of any on the spot, but these teams he did know both were mature. They both had the drive in them to succeed and to make a run. What similarities do you see between the 2020 state runner-up squad and this Alexandria squad that finished the regular season undefeated?
I would have to agree with him on that. I mean, I think that there's more, you know, you got a bunch of, like, senior leadership and teams that have been, like, focusing on trying to get there. I think the point had been that 2020 team, you know, they kind of had gradually tried to kick down the door, especially getting to the playoffs those couple of years. And, I mean, I think this was a team that had won their first couple of playoff games as a 5A member, won in the first round in a couple of those years in 2018, 2019. But, unfortunately, they lost in the regional round in those matchups on the road against Ruston and Mandeville. This year, I think this year's team, you can kind of look at from what they did, kind of similar to 2022 and 2023, where they won their first couple of playoff games. In 2022, lost to Bird in the regional round, and in 2023, lost to Edna Carr in the quarterfinal round. So I think it's mostly just looking at the teams that continue to go further. Obviously, you look at Judd Barden. I mean, I think when he was in 2020, he really came to his own as a great quarterback at that point in time. And you look at JT Lindsay now, they've been led by some very good senior players as well. I think that it's just been kind of looking at it here. You look at that 2020 team, the defense. I know they lost a lot of their defensive backs that year, but they still had some that were still hungry. And it's kind of like the similar thing right there with that defense too, where you had a lot of older guys last year, but then this year you do have some younger guys that were ready just to make that leap up and get ready to get some experience going. So I think if there's some similarities there, it's just resilience, game action, and the guys that were behind, pretty much that were reserves in the past that were kind of ready just to kind of take over and, you know, can make this thing continue to go.
Going to the smaller schools, especially Division III select, Bunky, number 5 seed in that particular bracket. The only thing is they're bunched up with Dunham. That's a possible quarterfinal matchup there. Bunky has looked good this year. Do you think they have what it takes to get past a Dunham team that's been unstoppable?
It's going to be very interesting here. And you know, that's the one thing that, you know, Coach Jimmy Hillman had been saying. You know, they wanted to try to at least beef up their non-district schedule, play against more select teams, just to kind of get an idea, just to see what it is like to play against some of those teams. Last year, they got to that 9-1 record. They lost to a very good Episcopal team, and this year they just at least wanted to rectify that they at least wanted to get to Thanksgiving ball at least. And looks like in the second round, they're probably going to face against A-Meet. That's going to be a very interesting challenge there. And, of course, like you said, I mean, probably playing against Dunham, which could be an interesting matchup there. So, overall, I think they got what it takes, at least with the skill players and also the defensive players that they have as well. But it's going to be very interesting to see.
Division III non-selective Oils is the 19th seed. They're at number 14, Mansfield. And I don't know why, but my gut's telling me this may be the upset special of the first round of the playoffs with the Oils coming out on top.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just the way that the Oils played. I mean, yes, they don't play like the same way that they had when Andy Boone was still running with the team, but they still commit to the run. They still commit to just running, and tough defense overall. And I think that there could be a possible upset matchup there that you could see. I mean, you look at last year. Last year, nobody really gave them a chance against Kinder, but it was the schedule that they played against, you know, Turlings and LCA and all those other teams that really prepared them for that point. And you got most of the same guys coming back in this case here that they probably feel like, hey, you know, we did it last year. We went through the ringer last year with a tough schedule. There's not going to be that much that we can kind of see that's going to really surprise us coming up in there, too. So that could be an interesting one there, too. I mean, I look at Marksville as well. I mean, in the same boat kind of. Where they might be in the same situation here. If they can just shake up out of their funk over their last couple of weeks there with their two-star players or with their three-star players, they have a chance just about as anybody as well, too.
Marksville, the number 18 seed at number 15, Lorville. They'll have to make the trip all the way to Iberia Parish for that game. And in that same half of the bracket, number 7, Gina, they're hosting Caldwell Parish this week. Gina's looked good. Do they have what it takes to get through this and possibly face off against one of their regional rivals in either the quarters or the semis?
Right. I mean, I feel like that there could be it's a good possibility. You know, Caldwell gets into the playoffs, obviously, you know, after winning their game against Vidalia, but you know, Gina took care of Caldwell in week 9. I think won that game 50-7 pretty handily. So, you know, obviously they're not going to look past them. They know that's a big game as well. They played against them again in the playoffs last year. So they ought to be very, very familiar with each other, playing 4 times in 2 years. And that's kind of crazy just to kind of get there. But I think further along, Coach Rourke is going to get those guys going. Church Point should be an interesting matchup in the regionals. You know, you got ERAP, which could be a good matchup in the quarterfinals. I still think looking at it right now and looking at the way that Gina has kind of been built, I would not be surprised if they get to the semifinals, honestly, and possibly face against a team like Oak Grove or something else like that. He's going to have them really prepared coming up there too. In this one, it's just the matter of fact of which Gina team is going to show up in this case here. If it's the team that played against, you know, Bunky or played against Tioga, there could be some cause of concerns here. But the good thing is at least the way that they've responded to those losses, that gives me kind of good cause and good confidence here that they could make this team, they could make a decent run out of this year too.
Lamar Gafford from SinLawPreps.com joining us to give us the lay of the land of the Central Louisiana teams in the playoffs. Lamar, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week for the regionals.
All right. Appreciate y'all. You have a good one.
We'll pause for a quick break. When we come back, we'll go north to Shreveport and Monroe when the Pelican State Prep Football Preview rolls on.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll be right back. This is the Bi-District Playoff Edition of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. Let's head to North Louisiana. We start in the northeast part of the state, the Monroe area. Gene Ponte from the K104 Downs Law Scoreboard Show joins us. And Gene, this week a lot of your heavy hitters have byes, so a lot of the lower seeds, I don't want to say less than impressive, because that's not the case. You have a lot of teams in northeast Louisiana that made the playoffs and in some cases surprises this year by getting to this point. So you're going to have teams play, but a lot of them are going to be on the road this week. What do you expect to see from those teams that are playing in the bi-district round?
Well, first of all, Ian, great being back with you. Hard to believe we're here in week 11 already. But, you know, we do have a lot of football teams, like probably most around the state, playing here in this opening round. You're right, the big studs, the Nevilles, the Rustins, Franklin Parish, Oak Grove, Haynesville's are all sitting on the bench this week with a nice bye. But we do have some good football games, 23 ball games, in fact, involving teams from northeast Louisiana. It'd be hard to put my thumb on any that I think jump off the page better than others, but I do know we have some great matchups. One will be right down there in your neck of the woods. Destrehan, which is the 10 seed in 5A, will host Washita. And while that doesn't, who is a 23 seed, by the way, doesn't sound like a great matchup, but sometimes when you get in this game, you go back and you look at common opponents on the year. Destrehan got beat by Ash 45-27. I might have been week 3 or 4, but early in the year. Washita, on the other hand, failed on a 2-point conversion on the last play of the game and got beat by Rustin only 22-21. So they played with that football team the whole time. I know Destrehan's, 8-3 on the year, but Washita is a very good football team, and it's one that we're going to be watching pretty close.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because we're going to be there Friday night with the WWL All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. This is a Destrehan team that had its struggles in non-district play and struggled even a little bit once they got into district. But they beat Hahnville a few weeks ago, and since then they found their rhythm. This is a Washita Parish that, despite the 23 seed, is one of the better teams that you'll find in North Louisiana. So with that in mind, what's it going to take for Washita Parish to knock off a Destrehan squad that knows a thing or two about being in the Superdome?
Well, and you're right. Destrehan's on a nice roll. I think they've won 5 straight to kind of close out the year. But Washita, and I'm not discounting anything Destrehan's going through the course of the year, but, man, you know when you play in this District 2 5A, it's a battle each and every Friday night to the toppest of the levels. And they played a tough non-district schedule. But Washita is going to have to go in there and do a little bit more ball control. They've got a good quarterback in Montrell Connor, who is, I think, probably as good as they get. He's got a great set of wheels on him. They're going to have to find a way to keep it out of Destrehan's possession most of the night. But they've got two defensive linemen on the inside. Both are major D1 recruits. I mean, I'm talking the LSUs, the Texas, and all those schools want those two guys on the inside. So, you know, they're a balanced football team. We said it all along. And I'm not sure I'd want anything to do with Washita in the opening round. We'll see how Destrehan handles it.
We're expecting this to be a close game, maybe one of the better games on the entire statewide schedule this week. Again, there on Friday night with the WWL All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. Another team that's in the playoffs this week, or that'll be playing this week, I should say, is Faraday. And this is a squad that, since the turn of the decade, has had some success. They've been in the playoffs in 2 of the last 4 years, 2020 and 2023. They're back again this year, their third appearance in 5 years. But you go back and you look at what they've been able to do even after Cordell Bailey left. This is a team we don't talk about much here in South Louisiana, but they're consistently in the playoffs, and this year it seems as if they've hit a better stride than what they've had the last few years. So for Faraday,
they put up some big numbers. They got a great passing attack. They're the 8 seed in that Division 4 non-select. They'll play Lake Arthur, who I would be shocked beyond all shock if they can kind of go in there and win that football game. But look, Faraday's no stranger, as you just said, to the postseason, and many people don't even consider them one of the elite, but they're a good football team. They made it to, the state semifinals, I think it was maybe 4 years ago. So they know how to go deep into the playoffs. This will be the first step for them.
And this is a good team. If you've not seen them yet this year, go back, see if you can find some film on them online, because this Faraday squad is impressive. They're not one to sleep on. Who are some of the other teams in the Monroe area, northeast Louisiana, that might make a run that folks elsewhere in the state may not have heard of this year?
Well, I mean, I know we've talked about Bastrop a little bit under Tank Washington. They're the 17 seed, and of course they flip around. They'll come right there north of Baton Rouge, and they'll play West Feliciana, the 16. But the Carroll Bulldogs have been playing very good football lately, and I think they're going to be very good. And then I made reference to Tank Washington. He was there last year, went to Bastrop. And now they've got a new coach. They had a coach drop out the week before the season, but they have somehow found their stride, as you just pointed out. And they'll be, I think they'll come away with a W on Friday. But Bastrop does play at number 13, Opelousas. And that's another one we'll watch closely, along with number 22, Glenbrook at Wichita Christian. It'd be interesting to see. Wichita OCS got spanked last week by Oak Grove on their home turf, broke a 40-game win streak by the Eagles on their home field. So we'll see how they bounce back in the opening round of the playoffs.
Who might be the biggest surprise from the Monroe area this year in the playoffs?
That's in it or with a chance to make some noise?
The biggest surprise, a team that may be ranked lower in the power ratings or in the seeding and might make a run. Who might be the biggest surprise this year?
I'm going to give you maybe a couple. In Division III Select, there's a little school up in Farmerville called Darbone Woods Charter. They play Country Day, a school right there right in your backyard, up here in Union Parish on Friday night. I would not discount their chances of making a deep run, quarterfinals maybe for sure. And look, the Sterlington Panthers are the sixth seed in Division III non-select. They've got Patterson on Friday. And, man, you talk about a team that has played a very hard schedule. I think they have a chance. I know they've got an issue with regard to some injuries that I hopefully think they're going to maybe work out or get some good news with before kickoff. But look, Lee Doty always has a good football team, and this year is no exception for them.
And don't be surprised if you see multiple teams from the Monroe area in the Superdome 4 weeks from now as we get closer to the end of the season.
You know, I mean, you know there's four or five teams from Northeast Louisiana down in New Orleans in that second week of December every year, and I think they'll be that again.
Gene Ponte with the K104 Downs Law Scoreboard Show joining us. Gene, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll check in with you next week.
Have a great game. Enjoy that Destrehan matchup, Ian.
From one fraternity brother to another, we go from Monroe to Shreveport. Here's Tim Fletcher from 1130, the Tiger, KWKH. Tim, a lot of Northwest Louisiana area teams in the playoffs. No surprise there. We know what Bird can do. They get Woodlawn of Baton Rouge this week. Captain Shreve hosting Evangel this week. Just a lot of big names and teams from your area. Parkway taking on West Monroe, lest we forget about them, in Division I non-select. A lot of good competition this week. What can we expect from some of these teams in the D1 playoffs?
Well, it's going to be fun. You know, this is what we all live for, right? As far as those of us that really care a lot about high school football, this is, you know, as all of our coaches up here say, and I'm sure the coaches around the state say the same thing, everyone's goal is to be practicing the week of Thanksgiving. That means you've made it through the quarterfinals, and, you know, that's the sign of a truly successful season if you've got a couple of playoff wins in, under your belt, or at least you're into the third round with a bye and all that good stuff. And I think we got some schools up here that can do this. Bird brings a lot to the table. You know, they've got an offense that is – it's the same thing every year, Ian, with Bird, and every week with Bird. If they don't turn the ball over, they have a very good chance to win. They, you know, running that option game, that means there's going to be a lot of pitches. There's going to be a lot of times the quarterback's going to be getting hit while pitching. There's going to be some defensive breakthroughs right when they're at the mesh point. If Bird holds on to the football, they win. And I don't know what statistics I can kind of bring up, but I would be very safe in saying that if they turn the ball over fewer than two times, I bet they've won 95% of their games in the last 20 years. But if they don't, they lose, you know, because they will run that option pitch from their own 4-yard line. And so they've many times turned the ball over and it ends up being a score for the other team, you know, right there, right out of the chute. So that's one thing to keep an eye on. Bird can play with just about anybody, but they've got to be able to keep the ball on the ground. And one thing about them as well, they got Asher Murray, the kicker, who tied the city record with a 56-yard field goal about 2 weeks ago. So they have a weapon, a true weapon that can, you know, absolutely, you know, make a difference in a close game. Parkway, man, I'm telling you right now, it's one of the better stories of the season is what Parkway has done with, you know, after week three, I believe, they lost seven starters and significant players due to suspensions that have not come back. Their starting quarterback, Caleb Williams, who is Michaela Williams' little brother. Michaela, of course, the sophomore star at LSU. He is rehabbing right now his injury and could be back in 2 weeks. But they've got the Gavin Farrington kid who came down from the lacrosse squad. They've got a two-headed monster, three-headed monster at running back. And the thing that everyone talks about with Parkway, they are enormous on both sides of the ball. Offensive line, defensive line, they are enormous. And that makes a big deal. They should be able to control the line of scrimmage with just about anybody they play. They're going to be able to hang in there in that regard. Of course, the game around here that everyone's excited about is the Thursday night rematch with Captain Shreve getting together with Evangel in a rematch of the 77-76 overtime game in which Peyton Pops Houston set the national high school record for yards passing, had 10 touchdowns, two on the ground, eight through the air. I think it's going to be a wild one. Evangel has gotten a little bit better since that game. They had to, as a matter of fact, their kicker, Marty Kent's son, Kagan Kent, kicked a field goal as time expired last week to give Evangel the win over Parkway in the regular season finale, and it kept alive Evangel's postseason streak at 33 seasons in a row. Without that kick, they're not in the postseason. So they're kind of playing with house money, but they also know that with Peyton Pops Houston, they can score with anybody. Can they stop anybody? Captain Shreve's going to attack them with a ground game. Jamar C.A. Plater is one of the top running backs in the area, leading rusher in the area. And, of course, Brody Savage is a very, very capable quarterback that can throw for 300-400 yards at the drop of a dime. I think Evangel might actually win this one, but it would not shock me if Shreve wins. I hope that we have an entertaining game in that one as we did the first time around. So those are our three big Division One games. And, of course, Ian, in Division Two, North DeSoto, that's the team to keep an eye on. Last year, of course, this is back-to-back years. They've made Final Four and championship game runs in the non-select Division Two. They get local Woodlawn of Shreveport in the first round and Stonewall at North DeSoto. And that should be a relatively, you know, simple task for North DeSoto to move on. They beat them 3 weeks ago, 55-6. So I expect North DeSoto to win, but the thing that really makes North DeSoto a title contender is outside of Kenny Darby of Airline, who committed to LSU yesterday, the junior wide receiver from Airline, outside of Darby, probably the most talented overall wide receiver in the area is Cole Corey. He got hurt in week two with a knee injury. He has vigorously rehabbed it back to where he was on the field last week to get a little action. He should be more of a full go this Friday. I'm sure that they would rather not have to use him too much, but get him into a little bit of a lather. But if he is able to play, I don't know, 80% of capacity, that gives them a receiver for Luke Delafield to go with their backfield. Kenny Thomas is a really fine running back for them. The Latin kid is really, really good running back for them. Keep an eye on North DeSoto, Ian. I think they're going to be a contender the rest of the way because they have got some really big-time talent, especially if they get the Corey kid back a full go.
North DeSoto is going to have a rough go of things in the regional round. They'll wind up playing the winner of North Vermillion at Belle Chasse. After that, they'll get either Lutcher, Cecilia, or Pearl River. Cecilia and Lutcher, two strong teams. Pearl River, nothing to sneeze at themselves. And should North DeSoto get to the quarterfinals, there's a chance that they could face Opelousas, a team that beat them last year in the semifinals. Meanwhile, back in Division One, non-select, Airline, they're the two seed. You would think that would give them some benefit. Then next week, they'll play either Westgate or Sanama. Then they will have to play either Destrehan, Washita Parish, Salmon, or Northwood Shreveport, depending on what happens there. And then at the top of that bracket, Ruston and Zachary. So if Airline goes on a run, they're going to have to beat four or five good teams to win a state championship. This is not easy by any means for these schools that have top seeds.
No, and that's what we like. You know, you want to be able to earn it, and I think that's exactly what we're going to see. It happens every year, Ian. Teams don't get to the Dome that don't deserve it. You know, whether they were an 8-win team, a 6-win team, or an undefeated team that comes through, you've got to put together 4 solid games if you have a bye to win a state championship, 5 if you don't have a bye. You've got to put together outstanding football on a regular basis. We're not even talking about Calvary, who I think is probably our safest bet to get to the Dome outside of Haynesville in our area. But I get what you're saying. By the way, if Airline wins their game next week, they're going to go scout the game this week, obviously, because they get the winner of, so they don't have to do anything except scout this week. But if Airline's able to win, they would be 11-0 for the first time ever. This is only the second time they've been 10-0. 1998, they were 10-0, but lost the first-round playoff game to Ruston. So they're playing for history, but they've also got other things on their plate. They want to go all the way, buddy, and I think they've got the offense to do it. We'll see if the South Louisiana and Northeast Louisiana teams can get in that scoring matchup with some of these teams. That's what we're known for in this area. Offense. Is that enough to go all the way? We'll find out.
Got to show some love to Logansport as well in Division 4 non-select. They're the 6th seed there. They get Varnado this week, the 27th seed.
Yep, that's true. And they're pretty fired up as well because they're coming in on a 5-game winning streak. And Kevin McGee told me this morning they feel really good about their chances.
Lastly, before we let you go, what are you hearing from your people in Shreveport about the situation with U-High and the LHSAA?
There was some frustration that if the brackets were going to be held up and the playoffs delayed. But the good news is it didn't get delayed. There is no more frustration. Everybody's just ready to roll, and we'll see how it goes now. But, yeah, there was frustration early, but not anymore.
He is Tim Fletcher from KWKH, 1130 The Tiger, joining us to give us the lay of the land in the Shreveport area. Tim, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again next week, my friend.
Sounds good to me, buddy.
We'll pause for this quick break. We'll take a look at what's going on in the River Parishes, the Bayou region, and in Lake Charles after this on the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. We are in the bi-district round of the Louisiana High School Football Playoffs, and you're listening to the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. I'm Ian Ozan. Troy LaBeouf, our River Parish and Bayou area correspondent, joins us. And Troy, there's no surprise here that the Bayou and River areas of the state are well represented. They typically are in the state playoffs. But you have a ton of outstanding teams here. Riverside Academy, they have a bye. You've got Covenant Christian with the bye. Vanderbilt Catholic. The list goes on and on. St. James, lest we forget about them. A lot of powerhouses in the Bayou and River parishes that are in the playoffs. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see more than one of them in the Superdome once we got to the middle of December, or once we get to the middle of December.
Yeah. Good to be with you again this week. It's exciting times, obviously. The weather's changing a little bit in a better, if you will, kind of feel like football weather. Mm-hmm. And now you got the first round of the playoffs. Those teams you mentioned earlier, you throw Lutcher in there as well. All those teams have a week to kind of scout their first round opponent, the winner of their first round opponent, to see who they'll get next week. But we do have some really good matchups in the River Parishes and the Bayou as well. Especially if you look at Division One, starting with Hanville and H.L. Bourgeois. This is a repeat of playing each other in the district. Hanville ended up with the 8th seed. Very good football season for Hanville, the Tigers, this year. H.L. had a little bit of a hiccup right at the end. They lose to East St. John, which kind of hurt them in the seedings. They would have been a little bit higher. I expect Hanville to win this game. Little surprising, Thibodaux sneaks in as a 28 seed. They'll face a number 5 Mandeville team who's without their star running back, but I expect Mandeville to take care of business in that one. So staying in Division One non-select, Destrehan getting most of their guys back in. They get Jace Thomas back. He should return this week, hopefully not more than 1 week past this one. Outstanding defensive player, committed to LSU. But the quarterback, Jackson Fields, is playing really good. If you look at his last 4 games, I believe he's like 10 touchdowns, no interceptions. He's thrown for 800 yards, so he's getting his footing back under him. But Destrehan's got a very intriguing opponent, the 10 versus 23, Ouachita Parish.
If you look at Wichita Parish, they have five losses on their schedule. Let me tell you who four to five are to: Franklin Parish, Ruston, West Monroe, and Neville. And three of those four were close games. So that's not an easy task for Destrehan in Division One, playing a 23 seed in Wichita Parish.
No, not at all. But the fact that Destrehan was able to rebound from what was a sluggish start to the season, they win a share of the district title, and now they're the number 10 seed in the playoffs. We know how good this team is and the history they have. Now that they're in the postseason, you certainly cannot count out this Destrehan squad.
No, they're one of my top higher seeds that I think could make a run. There's several in that Division One teams that you and I don't talk about in River Parish and Bayou that have a chance. I think this division, I don't want to say wide open, but I think more than normal, I think there's a group of teams that can knock on the door to making it to the Superdome.
And then once you get to the smaller schools, and we listed a few of them earlier on, chock full of talent, a lot of powerful schools, and these are schools that aren't necessarily going to throw the ball around, but they're going to run the ball, and they're going to pound you into the ground to beat you.
Yeah, I mean, if you jump down to the Division II non-select, the number two seed, Lutcher. Look, fantastic season under Dwayne Jenkins, undefeated. But, man, the bracket did not do them a favor. And I haven't talked to Coach Jenkins about it. I'm not going to put him on the spot and ask him this question, but he's got to be thinking it. You're going to play the winner of Pearl River and Cecilia. You know Cecilia. I mean, they played for the state championship. They were without Diesel Solari for several games this year. Unless I'm wrong, he's ready for the playoffs. Cecilia's an 18 seed. I mean, Opelousas is a 14 seed. The two teams that play for a state championship. So that they certainly, Lutcher does not have an easy winner in the second round.
No, they don't. But for Lutcher, that's the kind of challenge they welcome, though. This is a team that doesn't shy away from playing tough opponents. Look at their non-district schedule. They played a tough non-district slate, and they came out undefeated when it was all said and done.
Yeah, they're built for success. They can run the football. Quarterback's got good legs on him. He can run it and throw it as well. He's got 1,000 yards passing to coach's son, Zach, and then they got Trenton Chaney running back. But defense, they got some college guys that will be playing on Saturday. They're playing the defense, and their special teams is good. And they won't have to leave the dog yard as long as they continue to win. If they leave the dog yard, that means they go into the dome. If you jump down to Division III, non-select St. James, who is a young football team. They're the number one seed. They're looking at a potential rematch with Donaldsonville in the second round. Donaldsonville and Baker is going to be a really good 17-16 matchup. Donaldsonville had to travel to Baker this week, but I feel like Donaldsonville will win, and then you'll see a rematch of the district between those two. So I think St. James has a really good shot with a very young football team to advance. If you go down to Division IV, non-select, kudos to Coach Thomas and West St. John. They punched their ticket into the playoffs as a number 10 seed. They're a dangerous number 10 seed. They play Arcadia. Watch out for those guys. They can make a run because I think that Division IV non-select is wide open. I know Haynesville's the one seed, South Plaquemines. They're starting to make a resurgence. They're a two seed. But if you look at some other teams in there, I think West St. John as a 10 could push their way into the quarterfinals, where they would potentially be looking at a DeQuincy matchup on a team that they could potentially beat, I believe. So looking ahead a little bit for them. But want to go over to the select side. And we mentioned Riverside. Riverside, I believe, will have a manageable opponent in Hamilton Christian or St. John. Riverside's the seventh seed, the defending runner-up in Division IV select. And then I think Riverside can manage that, navigate that, and then we'd be looking at the winner of Ascension Catholic, whether the Ascension Catholic plays Opelousas Catholic. And Ascension Catholic and Opelousas Catholic have played four times in the last 2 years. The Bulldogs are 4-0 against them in some high-scoring ball games, expecting to see Opelousas Catholic in the second round. And you could see a matchup between Riverside and Ascension Catholic in the quarterfinals.
That would be a barn burner for sure. Lastly, before we let you go, we've been asking all our correspondents this. What are you hearing from coaches in your area about the U High situation?
It's tough. You know, the coaches want to be, you know, they want to be sensitive to what's going on, you know, because everybody has their own issues they're dealing with. But if you look at the documentation that came out, if you read all of the documents, it certainly looked like U High was negligent in taking care of their paperwork. Now, they may have a different version of it, but if you can't produce a concurrence form, which means anytime somebody transfers, a concurrence form needs to be populated from the transferring school to your school. You can't produce that. To me, that's telling me you didn't take care of your business and you pay the price. I do like what the LHSA did. They went ahead and pushed forward. And in my opinion, if you ask me today, I don't think U High plays a football game. They do have a bye. They are waiting the winner in the next round of 7 versus 10. I'm sorry, 15 versus 18 as the 2 seed. I think that 15-18 winner will move on into the quarterfinals. That's just my opinion. But I know coaches feel like we have to follow the rules. Everybody has to follow the rules. And it's unfortunate for all the kids that have to suffer for it.
Troy LaBeouf, our River Parishes and Bayou Area correspondent, joining us. Troy, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week for the regional round.
I look forward to it, Ian.
And we roll on to the southwest Louisiana portion of the state, the Lake Charles area. Chasten Tavares from 92.9 The Lake joins us. Chasten, looking at Division I non-select, it feels like old times again. Barb is in the playoffs. Sam Houston is in the playoff. In Division II, even LaGrange made the playoffs, even though they've had a down season after they got to district. So it feels as if Lake Charles is starting to come back into prominence, even Lake Charles College Prep in the playoffs this year. What are some of the big matchups that you're looking at, or even some of the surprises that you saw once the brackets came out Sunday?
Yeah, look, when you look at kind of the bracket right now, I mean, look, when you start at the top, you know, with Division I non-select, you know, there are some good matchups right there. Barb and Covington, the 17-16, you know, with Sam Houston beating Barb, you know, in week 10, that knocked Barb out of the, you know, out of hosting a home game. So instead they get the 17 seed. They're going on the road to take on Covington. Certainly a winnable game, more favorable than the one they got last year when they drew the final seed in the brackets. And then Sam Houston, you know, they get a daunting test and a Zachary team that's somewhat down. I think you could say for both Sam Houston and Zachary, these are two teams who had high expectations going into the year and a little bit of a down year. Look, when you look at Division II non-select, Jennings gets the bye. You've got LaGrange, Iowa. Obviously, that's a district matchup taking place in the first round. It's going to be a lot for LaGrange, again, having just played Iowa. Iota gets Assumption. Southport Garden-Brewley is an interesting matchup, the one that I actually thought about going to do. That one could be a ton of fun. Also, DeRidder Northwest has potential to be a little bit of fun as well. DeRidder can try and play upset there. Division II select Leesville, the Wampus Cats, they get a bye. You mentioned it, Lake Charles College Prep back in the playoffs. You know, Crowley-Westlake could be fun with Kinder getting a bye. The winner of that Crowley-Westlake game is actually going to get Kinder in the second round, which when I look at it from my perspective, obviously Kinder or Westlake is the higher seed. I see Westlake and Kinder there in the second round, and that is a matchup that it looks like it could be a ton of fun there in the second round. St. Louis Catholic ends up sneaking into the playoffs. They get the 23 seed. They're going to North Lake Christian. And then a Division IV bracket. That one has the potential to be a ton of fun as well. DeQuincy, they win the district. We had them last week versus Benton. They win the district. They get the bye. Benton is actually on the road. They fell. They were sitting around the 15-16 mark. They fall to 17. They're going to be traveling to Montgomery, taking a daunting trip up to Montgomery. That game has the potential to be a ton of fun. Vinton's offense, could cause some problems for Montgomery defensively. And then, you know, there's a couple other fun games. Basil-Elton, you know, that's a local rivalry. That one could be fun as well. And then Jonesboro-Hodge, Grand Lake. So you've got a couple of first-round matchups that could be a ton of fun. And when you look at the bracket, there could be some, potential routes to quarters, semis, and maybe even a dome appearance for some of these local teams.
Of the teams in the Lake Charles area, which one do you think has the best chance of pulling off upsets in rounds 1 and 2 and making a potential run?
Yeah, I mean, when if you want to look at upsets, again, I mentioned it, South Beauregard may have a shot. DeRidder may have a shot with Northwest. I don't see them pulling the upset, but it certainly could be a thing. Sam Houston, you know, when you're looking at seeding-wise, you know, the higher seed, I think Sam Houston and Barr both have the shot. I mean, you're going to look at Barr. They've played with everybody, you know, that's been on their schedule outside of Acadiana, and Acadiana is just a unit, and they're going to win the state title. They should win the state title, in my opinion. But, you know, Barb has a chance. I know that's not really an upset 17-16 seed, but when you look at the seedings, it is. Sam Houston's also a team that, you know, I think can cause some havoc in the bracket as well.
You've been speaking with some of the coaches in your area over the last couple days or so. What do they have to say about the mess going on between U-High and the LHSAA, which almost held up these playoff brackets?
Yeah, I think early on it was a lot of confusion. You know, I think the census has turned now, obviously, with the brackets coming out. Look, I think there's still a lot of confusion because – and there's going to be a lot of there's a lot of upset people, you know, because you got to think about it. With the brackets shaping out the way they do, with them putting U-High in the playoff, they had really one of two options. They either had to wait until the November 18th court date and release the playoffs with or without U-High once the judge ruled for or against U-High. Release the brackets that night. You've got 4 days to prepare, 3 days to prepare, games on Thursday and Friday of the 22nd. Everything gets pushed back a week, and you potentially lose the Superdome. Or you release the playoff brackets early with U-High in there, being that they're already going to get the first round bye. You know, I think that was best case scenario to kind of keep everything on pace, you know, to keep the Superdome, because we know that's where, of course, the LHSAA makes a ton of money, is with that Prep Classic. And that's eventually what they obviously ended up doing. And, you know, when I talk to coaches on Friday when the news comes out, and, you know, talk to a couple of coaches who had buys, and they were starting to panic because, you know, you don't want, as a coach, you don't want your team to have to go on a one-week bye. You know, most coaches don't like the bye, much less a three-week period that you have to keep your kids locked in before you even play your second round matchup, which would be your first game if you had a bye week. You know, I don't know if anybody was going to be happy in this whole scenario, but in the end, we get the playoff brackets when we were scheduled to. I ended up, you know, they had sent out a memo late Saturday night. I started to get a couple of messages because I'd been following the situation. I started to get a couple of messages from a couple of coaches, a couple of sources inside. And they said, hey, look, they're going to be sending out a memo to the coaches this evening saying that the brackets will come out on Sunday. And eventually they did. I think ended up coming out a couple of hours later than they originally do. But nevertheless, we got the playoff brackets in time, and everything is on pace right now. And look, that's a thing that's going to affect a local school here in our area. You know, look, Leesville is set to be paired up with, you know, with U-High in that Division II select bracket. You know, because University Lab gets the two seed. Leesville on the other side of the bracket gets the seven seed. So that's a quarterfinal matchup that, you know, if the winner of Buckeye and Booker T. Washington, if University Lab is found guilty, they're out of the playoffs, and the winner of Buckeye and Booker T. Washington is going to move on to the quarterfinals. Which, you know, if Leesville is able to get past the winner of Loyola Prep and Sophie B. Wright, you know, they've got a path. They've got an easier path, I guess you could say, with the winner of Buckeye and Booker T. Washington to get to the state semifinals, where they would potentially have to take on E.D. White.
And for Wampus Cat squad that for the last few years has struggled to get past the quarterfinals, where they've been good, but they just couldn't get over the hump, this very well could be the year, depending on how things shape out, they do get over the hump and get one step closer to the Superdome. Chasten Tavares from 92.9 The Lake, giving us the lay of the land in the Lake Charles area. Chasten, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week, my friend.
There it is, brother. Have some fun with some playoff football.
Certainly will. It's finally here. The postseason is here, and it's going to be a good one. Enjoy your game this week, my friend.
There it is. Appreciate you.
We're back with more of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview right after this. We're back on the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. A quick reminder, the WWL All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup will be live at Destrehan this week as the Wildcats host Ouachita Parish. We'll be on the air from 7 o'clock until 10:30 on WWL, WWL.com, and the Odyssey app. Once all the games are completed, we'll have scores and regional round matchups at WWL.com. And of course, once we hear about a decision in the U-High LHSAA case, we'll have the update on WWL.com, too. That does it for the Bi-District Edition of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. Special thanks to all of our correspondents, Robin Fambro, Coach Lou Valden, Kevin Foote, Lamar Gafford, Gene Ponte, Tim Fletcher, Troy LaBeouf, and Chasten Tavares. I'm Ian Ozan. We'll see you next week for the Regional Round Edition of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.